The following resource is from desiringgod.org.
Let me tell you about the most wonderful experience I had early Monday morning, March 19, 2007, a little after 6 o'clock. God actually spoke to me. There's no doubt it was God. I heard the words in my head just as clearly as when a memory of a conversation passes across your consciousness. The words were in English, but they had about them the absolutely self-authenticating ring of truth. I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God still speaks today. I couldn't sleep for some reason. I was at Shalom House in northern Minnesota on a staff couples retreat. It was 5:30 a.m. I lay there wondering if I should get up or wait till I got sleepy again. In his mercy, God moved me out of bed. It was almost dark. It was mostly dark, but I managed to find my clothing, get dressed, grab my briefcase, slipped out of the room without waking Noel up. In the main room below, it was totally quiet. No one else seemed to be up, so I sat down on the couch in the corner to pray. As I prayed and mused, suddenly it happened. God said, "Come and see what I have done." There was not the slightest doubt in my mind that these were the very words of God. In this very moment, at this very place, the 21st century, 2007, God was speaking to me with absolute authority and self-evidencing reality. I paused to let this sink in. There was a sweetness about it. Time seemed to matter little. God was near. He had met me and he had me in his sights. He had something to say to me. When God draws near, hurry ceases, time slows down. I wondered what he meant by come and see. Would he take me somewhere, like he did Paul, into heaven to see what can't be spoken? Did see mean that I would have a vision of some great deed of God that no one has seen? I'm not sure how much time elapsed between God's initial word, come and see what I have done, and his next words, it doesn't matter. I was being enveloped in the love of his personal communication. The God of the universe was speaking to me. Then he said, as clearly as words have ever come to mind, "I am awesome in my deeds toward the children of man." My heart leaped up. "Yes, Lord, you are awesome in your deeds. Yes, to all men, whether they see it or not. Yes, now, how will you show me?" The words came again, just as clear as before, but increasingly specific. "I turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There they rejoiced in me, who rules by his might forever." Suddenly I realized God was talking to me, taking me back several thousand years to the time when he dried up the Red Sea and the Jordan River. I was being transported by his word back into history to those great deeds. This is what he meant by come and see. He was transporting me back by his words to those two glorious deeds before the children of men. These were the awesome deeds he referred to. God himself was narrating the mighty works of God. He was doing it for me. He was doing it with the words that were resounding in my own head. There settled over me a wonderful reverence. A palpable peace came down. There was a holy moment in that holy corner of the world in northern Minnesota. God Almighty had come down and was giving me the stillness and the openness and the willingness to hear his voice. As I marveled at his power to dry the sea and the river, he spoke again. "I keep watch over the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves." This was breathtaking. It was very serious. It was almost a rebuke, at least a warning. May as well have taken me by the collar of my shirt, lifted me off the ground with one hand and said with an incomparable mixture of fierceness and love, "Never, never, never exalt yourself. Never rebel against me." I sat staring at nothing. My mind was full of the global glory of God. "I keep watch over the nations." He had said this to me. It was not just that he had said it. Yes, that is glorious. But he had said this to me. The very words of God were in my head. They were there in my head just as much as the words I am writing at this moment are in my head. They were heard as clearly as if this moment I recalled that my wife said, "Come down for supper when you're ready," just a few minutes ago. I know those are the words of my wife, and I know these are the words of God. Think of it. Marvel at this. Stand in awe of this. The God who keeps watch over the nations, like some people keep watch over cattle or stock markets or construction sites, this God still speaks in the 21st century. I heard his very words. He spoke personally to me. What effect did this have on me? It filled me with a fresh sense of God's reality. It assured me more deeply that he acts in history and in our time. It strengthened my faith that he is for me and cares about me and will use his global power to watch over me. Why else would he come and tell me these things? It has increased my love for the Bible as God's very word, because it was through the Bible that I heard these divine words. And through the Bible, I have experiences like this almost every day. The very word of the universe, the very God of the universe, speaks on every page into my mind and your mind. We hear his very words. God himself has multiplied his wondrous deeds and thoughts toward us. None can compare with him. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they cannot be numbered. They are more than can be told. And best of all, they are available to all. If you would like to hear the very same words I heard on that couch in northern Minnesota, read Psalm 66, verses 5 through 7. That's where I heard them. Oh, how precious is the Bible! It is the very word of God. In it, God speaks in the 21st century. This is the very voice of God. By this voice, he speaks with absolute truth and personal force. By this voice, he reveals his all-surpassing beauty. By this voice, he reveals the deepest secrets of our heart. No voice anywhere, anytime can reach as deep or lift as high or carry as far as the voice of God we hear in the Bible. It is a great wonder that God still speaks today through the Bible with greater force, greater glory, greater assurance, greater sweetness, greater hope, greater guidance, greater transforming power, greater Christ-exalting truth than can be heard through any voice in any human soul on the planet from outside the Bible. This is why I found the article in this month's Christianity Today so sad. Written by an anonymous professor at a well-known Christian university, it tells of his experience of hearing God. What God said was that he must give all his royalties from the new book toward the tuition of a needy student. What makes me sad about this article is not that it isn't true or didn't happen. Don't put me in that category. What's sad is that it really does give the impression that extra-biblical communication with God is surpassingly wonderful and faith-deepening. All the while, the supremely glorious communication of the living God, which personally, powerfully, transformingly explodes in the receptive heart through the Bible every day, is passed over in total silence. I am sure this professor of theology did not mean it this way, but what he actually said was, quote, "For years I've taught that God still speaks, but I couldn't testify to it personally. I can only do so now anonymously." Surely he does not mean what he seems to imply, that only when one hears an extra-biblical voice like, "The money is not yours," you can testify personally that God still speaks. Surely he does not mean that the voice of God in the Bible speaking this very day with power and truth and wisdom and glory and joy and hope and wonder and helpfulness 10,000 times more decisively than anything we can hear outside the Bible. Surely, surely he doesn't mean that. Does he? I grieve at what is being communicated here. The great need of our time is for people in our churches to experience the living reality of God by hearing his word personally and transformingly in Scripture. Something is incredibly wrong when the words we hear outside Scripture are more powerful, more affecting to us than the inspired word of God. Because there we meet an authoritative display of the greatest good of the gospel. We meet God here. Oh, we don't meet him. If you don't meet him here with heart-transforming affections, the affections you have out there are probably not from him.
Thank you for listening to this resource from desiringgod.org. If you found it helpful, we encourage you to enjoy and share from thousands of resources on our site, including books, sermons, articles, and more, available free of charge. DesiringGod.org exists to help you treasure Jesus more than anything else, because God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him.